some of the ladies that got together the other night and had their get together at Chastity and Robert's house and had Bible, I think, devotion and listened to music, and they decided they wanted to try to sing that song. I think they've done a great job, and appreciate them. Appreciate Sister Tammy for singing this morning, and just appreciate everyone for being here this morning. If you will, get your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 16, verse 19 is where we're going to begin this morning. Anyone else maybe has got a song on your heart or a word of testimony before we get started? I'll apologize in advance. I may have to drink a lot of water today. Some of that medication they've got me on dries me out. It does a good thing for my nose, but then it dries me out and my mouth gets dry. So anyway, I just thank the Lord for allowing us to be back in his house this morning, miss Wednesday night. You know that I have to be pretty sick if I have to miss a service. So just I appreciate your prayers and continue to pray for us that we just continue to get over this mess and get straightened out here before too much longer and get back to full power. This morning, as we look into the Word of God, as we've looked over situations going on through the nation and country, and we look and see situations going on across the world, we see many people that's going to be in the condition of these two men that we're going to see this morning. There's many people that are living lavishly upon their wisdom and their wealth that they have, but they don't have Jesus. And there's some that seem to be living beggars' lives, but they're the richest people that you'll ever see because they do know Jesus as their Savior. And this morning, with knowing Him, don't make us perfect. Thank God, it just makes us forgiven. He's the only one that's ever been perfect. And I thank God that He's the one that was able to walk and ordain the steps that we try to follow in. We have our times of failures in this earth, but thank God, I know that one on the inside, He's perfect because of the blood of Jesus this morning. Not because of what I can obtain, not because of who I am, but because of who Jesus is, that I'm saved today. Now we see here that there was a rich man. It talks about in verse 19, chapter 16 in Luke. It said, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And until you look at someone, we can put on a disguise on the outside to make us look like we are the very thing that the world would like to have and to be pleasing in other people's eyes. We put on our fine clothing, we live on the things of the world, and we live a lavish lifestyle, and we see that people will get envious and jealous of those and want to have what others have. But let me tell you, sometimes on the outside, we can put a pretty bow and ribbon on it, but it don't make it no better than what it is on the inside. Sometimes we're decayed, and sometimes on the inside, and we are cankered, and we've got dirt that's living on the inside that we can't see because of the dressing on the outside. This rich man, no doubt in his time, was well thought of by many because he had money, was probably put in high standing because of his riches. We tend to do that, hold people in a high seat just because they have some money. But what we need to do is look and see if people have Jesus in their heart first and foremost. And we need to look at these things just as God looks upon the heart and the situations that's going on. Nothing's done in private that God doesn't know about and sees. And we see now in verse 20, it says there was another man. And it says, and there was a certain man named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate, at his gate, full of sores. And many times we go with handouts and we become the country of the handout, where everybody's got their handout looking for help in this world today instead of looking to see what God has blessed them with to be able to provide for themselves and to be able to provide for their families. I don't know if you've seen it this week, but there was a lady who has 15 kids and started getting some assistance, and when she did, they started looking in, found her boyfriend was the father of the 15 kids, had probation violations, and they arrested him, and now she is wanting to know who is going to pay for her 15 kids instead of getting out and getting a job looking for a handout. Now let me tell you, that's what we have got to. We're beggars today and wanting what the world can offer, a few morsels from the rich man's table, to think that we can get by in life like that instead of pulling ourselves up and trying to do something for ourselves, what God has given us the abilities to be able to do. We're looking for a handout, and we've gotten a handout line from God. We wanted it handed out to us just by Him and not have to put anything into it, not want to do anything about it, but just to be able to stand there in the welfare line of God, wanting a handout to see if He's going to pay for our needs. And I tell you, he wants us to be about our Father's business and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Here Lazarus had an infirmity, was laid at the rich man's gate full of sores, and he was just wanting the crumbs. There's many today that are wanting what the world has to offer and are not looking for what Jesus has to give them. He has more than a crumb from the table. He has a whole meal prepared if people will turn their heart to him. He has the riches of glory to give them. He has salvation. It's full and free if they'll only trust him and ask for the blood to be put. They won't have to feed from the crumbs of this world. They will be able to feast on the manna from God if they'll just surrender to him. He'll pull them up to the table and he'll gird himself and serve them that they may be able to eat from God's table. It says, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. They had more compassion on him than the people that was around him, maybe even his friends who was laying him at the rich man's gate trying to get just what he could get from the rich man. But the rich man probably didn't even know Lazarus, probably didn't care about Lazarus, didn't want to even have Lazarus around. And it says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Now we see the two fates of mankind today. One was chosen when a man fell in the Garden of Eden, when sin entered into this world. That is the destination of hell, which the rich man, when he died and he lifted up his eyes, that's where he was. And also heaven, which was provided by God himself through his son Jesus Christ, that he could send salvation, that we don't have to die and go to that awful place of hell. That he built a bridge that day that he went to Golgotha's hill there, and he took two pieces of wood and three nails and built a bridge from earth to eternity in heaven, that we can be able to ascend by the blood of Jesus and be able to go home to be with God one day. But here we see the fate of man. Friend, what fate are you facing today? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you surrendered all to him? Or are you walking on the losing side with Satan this morning? Are you walking to the gates of hell this morning? Or are you running because maybe your life is drawing close to an end and the lifestyle that you're living is going to put you in a grave one day? And if you're going to fall into the hands of a just God, he said if he didn't see the blood, he's going to be able to see those sins that you have, and he's going to see that separation because you're not his child, and hell is going to be your home. Friend, and I don't want to scare you, but listen, if that will get your attention, it's coming. It's coming. Imagine the worst fire that you've ever felt in your life, and that's nothing compared to what hell's going to be. It's going to be a hot place of no rest and all torment all day long, all the time, and no rest inside, not even one drop of water that we're going to see here in just a few moments that's even going to be able to drip on your tongue for just a brief second of relief. And it said, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Now the roles were reversed. Lazarus now is the rich man. The rich man now is the beggar. Here he is in hell and going to be begging for someone to go back and tell his brothers. Going to be begging for just a drop of water to be placed upon his tongue. Begging for just a little bit of relief. And here Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom out there in heaven, prepared and going to be able to be in rest forevermore, and to be able to be there with Jesus because he died with faith, believing and trusting in God that the Messiah was coming. If you'll remember, there were many that died with faith believing, and they went to paradise, and in paradise they waited upon the Messiah. At this point in time, this man, when he died, he went to that place of paradise waiting for Jesus to come and say, I'm here, I'm the Messiah, I am the resurrection, I am the blood, I have come to set you free. And because you died in faith believing that I was coming, because you had surrendered to that of prophecy that I was going to be here, you shall be saved. You will be with me today. And I'm thankful that when he made the promise, he kept the promise. Then he's held that promise ever since. But here he sees Abraham afar off and sees Lazarus. And he said, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He is tormented in the flame and wanted Lazarus, the one-time beggar, to be able to come and be able to bring some relief. Now, now because of the torture that he was in. He didn't ask for a glass of water. He didn't ask for a half a glass of water. He asked for just a little bit on the tip of a finger to be placed upon his tongue to be able to get a little relief. Now, friend, that's what you call being parched. You ever known that real thirst? You ever been out on a hot day and got to the point when the only thing that was going to touch your thirst was a good glass of cold water? And it didn't even have to be really cold. It could be just a little bit warm at the time, and you didn't care, but it felt so good entering into your body. Can you just imagine the torment this man must have been in whenever he's wanting just a drop of water, just a drop of water? And today, let me tell you, Christians, what do we want from God? Sometimes all we're asking for is just a little drop, but we don't get prepared to receive even the drop. And it gets silent when you talk like that. But if we're going to ask from God, we better be prepared to receive. Don't ask amiss, but ask God and expecting Him to answer. But let me tell you, here he was wanting just a drop of water to be placed upon his tongue. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. He's telling him now the roles are reversed. You had your good time, you had your heaven while you was on earth, and now you have made the choice while there was breath in the body, and you didn't choose the good things. You chose your riches. But now Lazarus is the one that's benefiting because he chose the good things of God. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that come from thence. Let me tell you, God made it possible that there couldn't be no way to cross that barrier, that they couldn't be able to come out of hell and go to heaven, nor those in heaven that might have compassion on those in hell could go there and be able to place a drop of water upon someone's tongue. Because if we saw someone that we knew and we loved them and we could see them there, then we would have that compassion. Our hearts would break and we would want to try to relieve their torment. But God said, there's a place there and there's no way to get across. The great gulf is fixed, and there can't be any transfer between the place. No travel between there. We try to travel between the planets and the stars and all these things, and they're coming up with these cryogenic chambers to put people in to freeze them so they can go great distances in space and all these things that's out there. We got enough problems here on Earth to worry about, besides worrying about if there's life on Mars and little green men and if the moon's made of cheese. If it was, somebody would buy the rights to it, be putting it on crackers, and we wouldn't have it there anymore. We'd have done eat it up. I don't know why sometimes I go off on something, little tangents like that. All I can say is it's a cough medicine right now. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. He's wanting him to go back and warn those that are still alive. That's our job now today, church, that we warn the ones that are still alive that there is a destiny coming one way or another. Either it's going to be heaven because the blood of Jesus has been applied, or it's going to be hell because we've denied Him. There's only two places that we're going to go. We're not going to wait and let this earth be heaven. This ain't going to be heaven here, let me tell you. This don't even compare to just the dust that might even be in heaven, and there's no dust there, but it would be glorious dust if there was. But let me tell you, this is nothing compared to what God has prepared for us there that we're going to be able to be in and be part of. And thank God, and He's told us that there was many mansions there, but let me tell you, I don't know if we're going to need them, because it says that there's a great sea of crystal glass there before the throne room. And I believe that's us as a congregation of people gathered before God's throne as a great sea of people there before it, praising and worshiping Him and singing the hosannas and singing blessed is the redeemed, and because He's the one that has redeemed us. And to thank God He paid the price. For I have now in verse 28 five brethren that He may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Let me tell you, if God brought back some of the great preachers from the past, if He brought back Billy Sunday and some of the others that had such great mission work out there and preaching and the different things and reached so many and had a desire to see people saved, if He brought one of them back from the dead, would they listen to Him? No, because let me tell you, He brought Jesus back from the dead and people are still rejecting Him. And He was the greatest preacher ever walked the face of this earth, and they're still rejecting His message today. And He wasn't there
his brothers ain't going to listen either if God brought Lazarus back and let him go to his father's house to warn them about the torments that he was going through, because people today are still not heeding the word of God. We've got our right in our own eyes, but we have tend to reject what's right in God's eyes. We've got to look and see how things have got to be done according to his will and to his word and to his way. Right's right, wrong's wrong, and God's established that, and we can't change it. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. They will repent. Still yet today they're rejecting it. Still yet today they're trying to come up with a different way, a different story, and all these things that people are saying that this people are evolving from all these different things and from monkeys and different things like this and coming on. And my question always is, why haven't we gone further? Why haven't we got over upper respiratory infections and needed medication for it? Why doesn't our body adapt and overcome Alzheimer's? Why doesn't our bodies adapt and overcome the cancers that's getting there instead of them getting worse? Shouldn't our bodies be able to get better and be able to fight this off if we evolved? They can't answer those questions because they've always got a missing link. But I thank God that I found the link, and his name is Jesus. And that his creation is what he created, and that he ordained to be exactly what it is. And he said, if you don't accept Jesus as your Savior, if you don't accept the blood of Christ, then hell will be your home. Doesn't matter if we sign the church card. It doesn't matter if we hold office. It doesn't matter if we've sat in a church pew for 50 years or 5 years or been there one time. We have to know Jesus as our Savior. We have to have the blood applied. We have to know him personally. We have to trust him personally as our personal Savior. But he said, they will repent. But God knew. He said, and said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And friends, are still not persuaded today. Jesus rose from the dead just like he said he would. He laid his life down on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood that we could be saved. He went to a borrowed tomb and spent 3 days there, but not just laying there. He was busy during that time. And thank God he rose and opened the tomb that we could get in and see that he's no longer laying there. There's not an evidence of his bones or his body of decay. But he walked out of that tomb that morning. He went about his father's business. He was seen and witnessed of being risen. And he ascended back to the Father, and eyes saw him leave here and leave this world. And one day, those that are prepared and ready, he's going to call us up hither, and we're going to see him again. We're going to see him in a likeness like we've never been able to see before. And there will be another likeness that people will see, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as he returns on a white horse to set foot upon this earth once more. The second time he comes back, he's not going to come to this earth. He's going to come take his children home. But that the next time when he comes and sets his foot here, it's going to be a time that people are going to run to the places to try to find death. It's going to be a time that there's going to be a final conquering of all sin upon the earth. Amen. And Jesus is the one that's going to lead his people. Amen. With his vesture dipped in blood, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, up on his white horse, riding into victory. At the sound of his voice, knees will bow, tongues shall confess, but it'll be too late. Will be too late. But God has given us an opportunity now to know Jesus. Friend, are you the rich man or are you Lazarus this morning? Are you laying at the gate full of sores, just looking for someone to have compassion on you, just to give you a crumb? God said he didn't want you to have a crumb, but he wanted you to have the whole buffet that he's got laid out for you. They're called the Word of God and his salvation first and foremost. If you'll receive his salvation, then you are free to be able to receive all the gifts of God. And he will bestow them unto you, and you'll be the richest person that you've ever known because of God's greatness and God's glory for you. Each one gets a little bit different revelation from God and a little bit different feeling from God. But that's where we're at in our walk with God. But we've still got the same God. The same God that's on the throne in heaven this morning. The same one, Jesus, that's there making intercession for us, looking, and when we call upon Him to call out our cause before God, and when we bow at an altar, sinner friend, and ask Jesus to come in and save us, is the same Jesus that turns and says, "They're coming with faith, believing that my blood's still sufficient. And it will pay that debt this morning if you'll only receive Jesus." Not just the words of the preacher, but the words of God's Word, God's holy book that will never steer us wrong. It will help us in times of trouble, turmoil, and things and waves beating about us, as she's talking about having the courage to be able to climb up out of the boat and step out upon the crashing sea. Do we have that faith this morning? Are we comfortable in our places and afraid to take that step out? It's not always easy to step out on faith, but God asks us to. And He'll take the next steps for us. He'll lift us up when we take our eyes off Him and begin to sink. He'll reach out if we call to Him. But this rich man, it was too late. There was no lifting him up out of the pits of hell once he was there. But friend, today you're breathing and you have an opportunity that you can go to Jesus and ask Him to save you. As they get a song prepared this morning, song of invitation. Friend, do you know Jesus as your Savior? I'm not just saying that you know that He can save, might save, but that He has saved. That He saved you from a world of hell this morning. That you've trusted Him, and God's salvation is full and free. And all He says is, "Come, come." Will you come to Him this morning as we stand to our feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed?